One of the world's most powerful economies goes to the polls. From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Spoiler alert, Chancellor Angela Merkel will almost certainly be reelected when German voters have their say this weekend. But keeping the election interesting, a new party with a strong anti-euro message. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from our European desk.
The Alternative for Germany party, or AfD, has broken a German taboo and challenged the existence of the euro. Hugh Bronson, an AfD candidate, says he would love to see the euro disintegrate, even though it would be very costly for Germany.
The exit is expensive. Staying in the euro is deadly.
Germany could precipitate the unravelling of the eurozone if it refused to back any more bailouts. And, says economist Gustav Horn, Germany might well do that if the AfD wins as much as 10% of the poll in Sunday's election.
We cannot exclude that the German policy shifts towards the euro area, that we will not pay any more this and that, and that we will not give any guarantees for credits. That could, in the end, lead up to a break of the euro area.
That is, however, unlikely. Most opinion polls suggest the AfD will win less than the 5% it needs to get seats in the parliament. But a strong showing by the AfD would break a psychological barrier and make Euroscepticism respectable in Germany. At the European desk, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading. In Germany, where Stephen was just talking about, up about 0.1%. Asian stocks closed mixed. A World Bank report says Syria's war will cost Lebanon $7.5 billion as refugees pour across the border. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P was down 0.2%. The Dow dropped 0.25% to close at 15,636. Global spending power of those over 60 is set to hit $15 trillion by the end of the decade. Companies are having trouble figuring out how to go after them. Matthew Boyle is reporting on this for Bloomberg. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Mark.
So you report that companies are doing a lot, but mostly not having the easiest time connecting with older consumers. Why is that?
Exactly, Mark. It's really a paradox for these companies. They know that this market is huge and getting bigger. Corporate America, by and large, has spent so long marketing to soccer moms or to the millennials. They really don't have a good handle as to the sort of unmet and unarticulated needs of this group. And that's the big challenge. Seniors are aging, but they don't like to be treated as old.
And what are you seeing companies starting to do differently to try and win over seniors to buy those products?
Well, the first thing they're doing is a pretty simple thing. You'd think they're actually just talking to seniors. You know, that goes a long way because you look at the people who design products and the people who sell ads. I mean, you rarely see a 55-year-old brand manager in corporate America. It's a young person's game. And for that reason, you often get products and marketing pitches that are tailored perhaps to what they think an older person would buy. But that's often not the case. And thankfully, though, that is changing, but it's changing slowly.
Now, there are some longstanding beliefs about older shoppers that they aren't reachable by marketing because they're set in their ways, loyal to certain products already, and also thought to be cheap. You know, so explain how that seems to be changing.
Well, you know, for example, one myth is that they're loyal to brands they've always used. And one guy I talked to laughed at me when I said that and said, well, look, if that was true, I'd still be driving a Chevy Impala. Of course, their needs change as they get older, but you're never going to know this unless you talk to them. You know, another myth is that it's one big group. And there are some baby boomers who are out windsurfing every weekend, but there are others who are, you know, not as mobile, not as active. So you have to realize there are a lot of different subsets of this group. You have to figure out what motivates each subset and then go after them that way.
Okay, Matt Boyle from Bloomberg. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
The new iPhones are now on sale, which means superfans lining up in front of Apple stores everywhere. But those with the means don't have to stand in line. Conrad Wilson reports on the many services that will do the waiting for a price.
A company called 1-1 will spare New Yorkers the agony of crowds trying to buy anything from food to hot new video games to the iPhone.
1-1 is your on-demand helper to get whatever you want delivered.
Co-founder Lena Tinka says 1-1's charging $24 an hour for one of its couriers to wait in line for the new iPhone.
A lot of our helpers actually are NYU students, so we've figured out a way to fill downtime for them.
Natinka says he's received more than 100 iPhone requests. And yesterday, an NYU student working for 1-1 snagged the first spot in line outside an Apple store in New York. Another service, TaskRabbit, has received 250 requests to line up for new iPhones in 15 cities. Johnny Brackett is the company's senior manager for marketing.
To put that in perspective, when the iPhone 5 came out, we saw 350 tasks posted just in New York City and San Francisco alone.
But he says lower demand for TaskRabbit isn't necessarily an indicator of how well Apple's latest iPhone will sell. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
And finally, one of the most talked about new iPhone 5S features is the fingerprint scanner. It'll allow you to quickly unlock the phone by touching it. But in the wake of all the recent NSA revelations, that freaks a lot of people out, wondering if government spies will have backdoor access to their prints. Brainiac National Security reporter Mark Ambinder turned to a noted iPhone expert, Siri. Here's what happens when you ask the digital assistant if it's sending your data to the NSA.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I can't answer that.
That is not comforting, Siri. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.